Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here. On 93.7, The Ticket. It's the little things in life, ladies and gentlemen. I come in and I sit down. And if you can see me on the tube of you on YouTube, the microphone is not seemingly 4 feet. It was never 4 feet, but like way below my mouth. It's like right up next to my mouth. I don't have to fight with this thing. I used to use the mic on the other side, but I use my hands so much when I talk, I would whack the thing. Somebody fixed this. And my day and my entire week has been made, ladies and gentlemen. It's the little things in life. Why is it so dark in here? Is this mood lighting? What is this?
I thought I'd set the mood a little bit.
With the
snow and the light coming in, it just works better for video for now.
Oh, dude, if you light a candle, it's going to get weird in here. Don't do that, all right? Ladies and gentlemen, if you're like me and beating the GPS time is an extreme sport, then... I don't know if you're like me and I, dude, legit the GPS time, like that is like, no, I need to beat it by a minute or two. Like it is an extreme sport for me. Now there are exceptions when it's slick, if the kids are in the car, it depends on how many are in there. Have they been good lately? You know, it's one of those things. If my wife's in the car, the time on the GPS just goes out the window. I may or may not drive a little bit differently. She listens to the show, so it's not something she doesn't already. And although we've had many chats about it, and I have done much better since New Year's. But beating the GPS time is an acceptable extreme sport as long as you drive safely. We encourage safe driving, ladies and gentlemen. All right, it's the Adam Carriker Show. If you didn't know, it's time to know. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time. It's now twice the amount of fun, 4 days a week. Come join yours truly here on 93.7, The Ticket. You can check it out, theticketfm.com. This is like seriously heaven for me. I can move my hands. The mic's not in the way. It's where I want it to be. It's the little things in life, ladies and gentlemen. All right, 4 days a week. And also on Wednesdays, tune in for One-on-One with DP. Steve Taylor drops the knowledge. A lot of phenomenal stuff. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 5 days a week here on 93.7, The Ticket, theticketfm.com, also on YouTube, podcast platforms, social media, anywhere you want to check out, dare I say, the best radio content north of the Mason-Dixon line. I don't even know where the Mason-Dixon line is. I just like saying that. It's fun, and it's probably, most likely, odds on. Odds are in the favor of that it's true. All right, what you're going to get on the Adam Carriker Show, you're going to get unique insight and bridled honesty. And producer Jake and I you got to turn the lights on. This is weirding me out. We're going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. We're going to be talking Husker sports, college football, and sports in general, as well as I walked in here. Well, it's a loaded show today, as always. It's always a loaded show, especially like following weekends, following a Wednesday. I've got like 2-3 days worth of news to go through, and it usually takes me about 2-3 days, to be honest with you. So Nebraska baseball, it was just announced who got invited to the NFL Combine from Nebraska football. We're going to give you an inside look at a college football locker room. What else do we got here? Let me look at this. The concessions and vendors. Somebody new is in charge. All right, Airmark Sports is now in charge. What does that mean for Runza? What does that mean for Valentino's? Nebraska Kearney football head coach Ryan Heldon, former Husker, is going to be joining me at 12:30. And I got a lot of other things on this list. I can't always read my handwriting. I can read most of it. We've got about 5 clips I want to play throughout today as well. Poor Jake, I was just like bombarding him. Finally, I was like, dude, I don't mean to text you at 10:30 at night or whatever, but whenever I see the clip, you're going to get the clip sent your way because there's no way I'm going to remember the next day. All sorts of stuff to share with you fine folks. A bunch of random stuff as well, as always, as I'm scouring the interwebs. I always kind of pick out what stands out to me the most, and we chat about that. All right, real quick. Before I forget to do it, $100 gift certificate. You can be a winner. Win $100, a gift certificate to Automotive Solutions, 2040 Southwest Fifth Street here in Lincoln, Characters Trivia Challenge. If you don't know, here are the rules. Simply call in. Be the first person to call in. All right, what's that number, Jake?
402-464-5685.
Has it ever changed since you've been here?
I don't believe so.
All right. I still don't have it memorized. Pretty much I'm like, what's that number? I kind of zone out while you're talking because I'm thinking about what I'm going to say next. But I'm sure the fine folks at home know it as well. Be the first person to call in. We'll bring you live on air. You get 3 questions. I get 3 questions. Maybe you can win a $100 gift certificate. Even if somehow I get lucky, smarter than the average dumb guy does come out on top, still play for the people. The next caller who calls in after that can still win the gift certificate, Characters Trivia Challenge. But let's start right off the top. All right. It was just announced, you told me 30 minutes ago as I walked in here, I believe 4 Huskers were invited to the NFL Combine. All right, who are they, Jake?
So Ty Robinson, Tommy Hill, Isaiah Nair, and Thomas Fedoni.
Were you surprised? Now, Nash Hutmaker is the obvious guy who's not on that list that popped into my head first. Was there anyone else you were surprised that was not invited?
Not surprised, but, you know, maybe you can hold out some hope for John Bullock or somebody like that.
What are your thoughts on Nash not getting, like, what does that mean for Nash's draft stock and maybe how NFL teams see him not getting an invite to the combine?
It's not great. So 329 prospects were invited. You're going to have about 250, last year, 257 players in the draft. So not even all the combine invites are invited. But generally, and this is a little bit of an outdated study that I looked back, you know, but it was going over 10 years. So this is from like 2012. It said, about 30 to 40 players will be drafted without going to the combine. There's been notable guys over the years, Doug Baldwin, Julian Edelman, different reasons, Antonio Gates, OCU Manura, Wes Welker, James Harrison, Adam Thielen, Tyreek Hill. So it's not doomsday, but it's not a great indicator.
Tyreek Hill was not invited to the combine.
I think he had some legal issues going on.
Okay. I would love to know what his 40 is. I remember watching his 60-yard dash in indoor track. What was that, a year, 2 years ago? He just blew everybody away. Blew everybody away. And now you can see why he blows everybody away on the football field. Did you hear the rumor? Not to get randomly sidetracked and sidebarred, but I've actually got this article here I was thinking about bringing up today anyways. Do you hear the rumor that Dolphins and Chiefs are talking about a trade that would send Tyreek back to Kansas City? You didn't know that?
I didn't see that, no.
I've seen about 3 different articles. All right. And the one that I have right here is, could Miami Dolphins trade Tyreek Hill and replace him with a $15.8 million wide receiver? So I'm like, all right, where is this said destination spot? Just 3 years after arriving in South Florida, a blockbuster trade with the Kansas City Chiefs, a Dolphins superstar receiver has found himself at the center of trade speculation. You keep on reading and you see the Kansas City Chiefs are the odds-on favorite to the team that would trade for him or be trading for him to bring him back to Kansas City. When I saw that, that was very interesting. I mean, Xavier Worthy, speed demon, showed out in the Super Bowl, had 2 touchdown receptions, I believe. Juju Smith-Schuster, very good receiver in his own right. I don't know. I believe Travis Kelce plans on coming back for another year, but I don't know if that's been confirmed yet. He's kind of one of those guys that gets a while in the offseason to decide. I mean, they've got pass catchers all over the place. I will say this, Tyreek with Xavier Worthy, who blew by everybody in the Super Bowl multiple times, the insane speed, and then you got Kelce underneath. If he does come back and he can continue to play at a relatively high level, what are your thoughts on this? Because I'll be honest with you, I don't like it, and I'll tell you why. Despite everything I just said, I'll tell you why. But what do you think about this, potentially, if it happens?
Well, I mean, and get the band back together, right? I mean, Tyreek had his kind of had his payday, his fun in Miami. But obviously, the best years of his career was with winning Super Bowls with Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs crowd. Like you said, I mean, I would be particularly excited to see him be paired with Xavier Worthy. I mean, that's got to be the fastest wide receiver group in the league. Now, as we've seen, they might need a few offensive linemen to kind of help a little bit there as well, but that would be big. I mean, the Chiefs, I feel like, don't have to do something this offseason, right? And there's all these feelings after the Super Bowl. They're not, you know, they're this, they're that. They were still the best team in the AFC and in the Super Bowl game, but that would be huge. That would be huge for the league. I think that would be huge for Kansas City moving forward, because their wide receivers are okay. And Xavier Worthy is fast, but he had like 700 yards receiving. It's not all pro level Tyreek Hill.
By the way, Debo Samuel's a $15.8 million receiver that they're talking may go to the Dolphins. Just to throw that out there, if this all comes to fruition the way it's been speculated on multiple articles that I've seen. So we'll get back on track here in a second to the Huskers invited to the combine. But my quick thoughts are this: if Tyreek goes to Kansas City, do the Chiefs get better? Yes. Is it better for the NFL? Oh, my God. It's like having Deion Sanders in college football. It's way better. It's way more entertaining. Way more things to talk about. Are there things the Chiefs can do that would make them better? That would be better choices than Tyreek? Yes. Find guys who can block. Find guys who can protect Patrick Mahomes. Two of Brady's three Super Bowl losses, they lost to teams that weren't as good. The Giants' record wasn't anywhere near as good either time they lost to him. But the Giants were better at specific things, namely getting after the quarterback without having to blitz. And they have two Super Bowl losses to teams that probably weren't as good as them, talking about the Patriots, although the Patriots, you know, they're doing five with six overall in their history, and Brady has seven, more than any NFL franchise in history. But the two of the three that they lost were because they couldn't block the front four of the opposing team. O.C. Umenyura, Justin Tuck, Michael Strahan, Barry Cofield, who I played with in D.C., and then you look at Mahomes, his two Super Bowl losses, the Bucs and the Eagles. The difference was they couldn't block the opposing team's front four. So in my opinion, as a NFL fan, I love Tyreek going to the Chiefs. It's so entertaining to talk about. If I'm a Chiefs fan, I'm like, no, we don't need drama. All right, and we need people who can block. We got guys who can throw, who can catch, and we got a good defense, an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. No. We need guys who can block. That's going to make us significantly better than adding another weapon, although not the tops in the league, so to speak. But if Patrick Mahomes has time, he's gonna slice and dice you. He just didn't have time. Both of their Super Bowl losses. Just my thoughts. Any final thoughts on that before we get back to the NFL Combine? Husker invites, Jake.
No, I definitely agree. I think it would, again, like you said, exciting for the league, but it's not probably the top of the Chiefs priority, but you know, some old feelings can be renewed, and so maybe it will be.
Some old feelings can be renewed. I love how you put that, by the way. All right, so as far as the guys invited to the combine from Nebraska, I don't think there's any surprises as far as Tommy Hill, Ty Robinson. Who were the other two you said?
Tommy Hill, Ty Robinson, Isaiah Neyor, and Thomas Fedoni.
I don't think Fedoni is a huge shock. I think maybe Neyor is a little bit of a surprise. I mean, if you look at his physical talent, it's there. The production was not. And it frankly has not been for about 2 to 3 years since he was at Wyoming. All right, so that's a little bit of a surprise. I think that's more of a ceiling over production invite, so to speak. So when you said there was, 369 guys invited, 257 guys drafted, yet there's about 30 to 40 guys who are not invited to the combine who do get drafted, that leaves about 100 or more guys who go to the combine that don't get drafted. I'm not saying Isaiah Neyor is going to be one of those guys, but I think it's Fedoni and Neyor are the two guys that especially need to test incredibly well, because if they don't, I don't know that you can fall back on your tape, your film, your production for an NFL team to draft you. So for me, if those guys test really well, especially those two, I would say Tommy Hill as well. Like, he's known for being an athlete. It's something that could really, they could make a lot of money in Indy, or they could lose a lot of money. There are certain guys you wouldn't say as much about. Like Ty Robinson's going to be able to say, hey, look at my film. This is what I did. I progressively got better. My second to last year, I was really good. My last year, I was a straight up monster. All right. So if he tests really, really well, obviously that's going to help him. If he tests incredibly poorly, obviously that hurts. But if it's somewhere in the middle, he has room for margin for error, especially Nayor and Fedoni do not. People are going to be very concerned about that knee. When I went to the NFL Combine, the amount of testing that they do on guys who got hurt, it is almost unfathomable. Like every single team that's interested in you wants their own x-ray, their own MRI, their own doctor to evaluate you. So let's just say for fun's sake, there's 20 teams that are legit interested in you. You can just start to imagine how much time that takes and how the poking, the prodding. I had a MCL tear my sophomore year of college, which frankly I had forgotten about. Oh my gosh, the amount of time that people spent poking and yanking on that knee, just the knee. And then I had a couple ankle sprains. My goodness, I can't even imagine what a guy like Fedoni, who's had two major injuries to his knee, is going to go through and the amount of scrutiny. And then they want to see how you perform. They want to see how you test. So it's going to be huge, especially for guys like that. All right, the one guy left out, the noticeable guy left out. I don't want to say the one guy left out, but the noticeable guy left out, you know, John Bullock. Like, obviously, his pro day is going to be huge for him. Yeah, that's a guy that played very, very well, all right, throughout most of his career, especially considering he was a walk-on wide receiver at one point. And they converted him to linebacker. And probably him and Robinson were our two best defensive players a season ago. Robinson probably being the most consistent and productive overall. Look at a guy like Nash Huttmaker, the one guy not invited. This is, and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I am convinced he is going to be an absolute steal in the NFL draft for an NFL team. You look at what he can do in the weight room, what he can do physically. You look at his film from his junior year. I felt like he was ahead of Ty Robinson. I'm not going to do my whole diatribe again, but I'm going to do an abbreviated version of it. I felt like he was ahead of Ty Robinson. They were both very good players. And I felt like they were both going to come back and be two of the top defensive linemen in the Big Ten Conference. Ty Robinson came back and he did that. This is not a shot at Nash. This is my honest evaluation, okay? I talked about the wrestling and how you have to lose weight and how physical that is and how demanding it is. And then he didn't do winter conditioning. And then he sat out spring ball because he actually needed some time off from a demanding football season into a demanding wrestling season. And what he did was insanely impressive. And frankly, somebody should write a book about it. Taking 4 years off. 4 years off, and then you make it to nationals the 1 year you do collegiate wrestling in the Big Ten. That's something some media company should get the rights to that and do something with it because it's a phenomenal story. But losing weight, putting on weight, missing time, not getting time off, not getting the ability to develop over the offseason. I'm like, man, I am so curious. This whole entire offseason at this time last year, I'm like, this is a phenomenal story, but I'm so curious to see how this plays out. I mentioned on Tuesday, I've lost 100 pounds at one. Like, I went from 220 to 320 over the course of my senior year in high school to the time one day. I was 320 one day. So technically, I can say it. My playing weight really in D.C. was around 305 to 310. Okay, but I can technically say I went from 220 to 320, 320 all the way back down to 220, and then unfortunately, I ballooned up over the past 8 or 9 years, which I'm down 10 to 15, trying to get down 10 to 15 more. But I've been through this. I know what this looks like. I know how hard it is. I know how challenging it is. I know what an offseason looks like. I know what combine training looks like. Like, I know the pressure going into a senior season when people are expecting stuff from you the entire offseason, like Nash had last year, what that is like. It is an incredibly hard thing to do and to endure. Now, I can't relate to the wrestling part of it. I can just project based on what people have told me how challenging wrestling is. My point is, Ty Robinson took the next step in his development going into his senior season. If you watch Nash's film senior year to junior year, Nash didn't all of a sudden go to a bad player, but he didn't project upwards. Okay, his junior year film was better than his senior year. That is not a shot. That is just my honest evaluation. Nash was still a good football player. But in my opinion, had Nash continued on that upward trajectory from his junior to his senior year, he'd have been right there with Ty as far as potentially a first, second, third round pick somewhere in the first three rounds. He'd have been right there with Ty. So for me, he's had time to get back into a football offseason, to get back into training, to get back into football mode. If you watch the Senior Bowl, he played well. I'm sorry, the East-West Shrine Bowl, he played well. If you watch the practices, he flat out ran over offensive linemen. just ran them over. And I'm like, he's had time to get back into that full swing of football now. Now that's the Nash that NFL teams are going to get. And whether he gets drafted or not, somebody is getting a diamond in the rough. So they're going to get a really good 8 to 10 year NFL football player on the cheap. And then when it's all said and done, they need to go back and write that book or make that movie about what he did last year and the great story that that was. But Nash not being invited isn't the end of the line. Jake said 30 to 40 people every year get drafted that aren't invited to the combine, and roughly 80, 90, 100 people invited to the combine don't get drafted. Those guys could potentially be Nayor and Fedoni, depending on how they test. They could get drafted. They could shoot up draft boards. They could fall. And a guy like Nash is going to be a very good NFL football player, and somebody's going to find a diamond in the rough, whether he's drafted or not. Did that all kind of come together and make sense a little bit? You've heard me talk about this before, but did that kind of make sense in your mind there, Jake?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd agree with your assessment. It just didn't feel like he took the step that Robinson did. Now, I will say this too, because I failed to mention a few other guys that might be getting a look. The pro day is going to be very important. Yes. And interesting this year. You got a guy like Bryce Benhart, 6'9", 315.
Yes. Yep.
You got Ben Scott, who transferred to Nebraska with the idea of only playing center so that he could get to the NFL. Jamal Banks. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you've got a few other names there that at Nebraska's pro day are going to be going for it. Nash is definitely going to be the one in the spotlight, but some of those other guys might have a chance at an NFL career too.
Oh, they all do. They all do. Every year, there's guys who are drafted high that don't work out. Guys go undrafted, they work out. You know, the hope is the higher you're drafted, the better the teams think you are, the odds go up that you're going to be a better longer-term NFL player. Obviously, that goes without saying. You look at a guy like Jamal Banks. That's a guy who I expect to test decent, but I think scouts are going to anticipate better scores out of Isaiah Nayor, like testing-wise, which is why he got invited to the combine and Banks didn't. Not to say that Banks can't have a career. He's a big target. This is the dude who was an all-ACC type player. Disappeared last year. That happened to quite a few of our receivers. All right, pretty much everyone not named Ja'Cory Barney, if I'm trying to be honest and fair here. But Banks has that ability. He has that talent, but he's got to show out. He's the guy who's going to have to work his, I don't want to say from the bottom up, but the lack of production last year, he's going to have to work his way up. When a new offensive coordinator comes in and just talks about you're huge, why aren't you blocking better? It's something so basic and simple as that, and then you can't get off man-to-man coverage press consistently. And then the lack of just overall production. I'm not slamming the kid. I'm talking from an NFL scout's perspective, which is a perspective I've never directly had, although I've talked to a million NFL scouts. This is what I would imagine they would say. So that's a guy who's got the potential, but he's got to earn it. Bryce Benhart's an intriguing guy to me. He's just intriguing to me. Did he ever miss a season due to injury at all?
It seems like he's been here for 8 years, so maybe at some point, but it didn't seem like it.
He has the most all-time starts at offensive tackle. I know that. Okay. For me, like, that's a huge dude. That's a dude that was highly recruited. That's a guy that's almost kind of reminds me in a way. I mean, he's a little bit bigger. Murtha was a little bit quicker, but Leighton Murtha back in the day, both from Minnesota, coincidentally enough, just big, talented dude. Now, again, Benhart's a little bit more powerful, a little bit bigger. Murtha's a little bit more agile, fleet of foot, if you will. So for me, I think Benhart, he's either going to go to guard, huge guard at 6'9", or stay at right tackle, where Murtha had the athletic ability to go right, left tackle, whatever the case may be. So to me, he's an intriguing guy because that's a guy who could make an NFL team. But what does he actually do when the time comes? All right, what was the other guy you mentioned? We had Banks, we had, Benhart. Who was the third one?
Ben Scott.
I like Ben. I met him at Big Ten Media Days. Really the only time I've interacted with him. He made a great impression on me. So did Ty. I'd met Ty before, but I like Ben a lot. I feel like he was a really good, solid player that nobody talked about, and he somehow gets overlooked. And he doesn't get an invite to the combine. I mean, he was like, wasn't he honorable mention all Pac-12 at Arizona State? Am I wrong with that?
I believe so.
Yeah. So this is a guy who can play at an all-conference type level, potentially. He's just a quiet guy. Works hard, busts his butt, does everything you ask. And he's one of those guys that's purely going to find a spot on a team and probably going to go undrafted potentially. But he's one of those guys that I could see. Like, there was a center from Clemson who was my roommate when I was in St. Louis. He actually played in the league for about 5-6 years. All right. And he reminds me a lot of that guy. Like, a guy that kind of flew under the radar, but just kept making teams, just kept making the depth chart, making the active 53. Well, he was practice squad his first year or two, and then just kept making teams. You know, when I look at Ben Scott, he's a guy that's going to fly under the radar. He's going to have to earn it. He's not a guy that's going to get a benefit of the doubt. He's just not going to. Okay. And I'm not even saying that I agree with that. That's just kind of what I see happening. But he's just kind of that guy I could just see, hey, I'm just going to be on the roster this year. Just make the depth chart this year. And now, here I am again this year. Here I am again another year. I play with a guy like that in DC, Reed Doughty, safety. And I've said this to him before, so I'll say it here. Skinny guy. Okay. I was like, when we wore our suits to certain events or away games or whatever, I'm like, Reed, you don't look like you play for the team. You look like you work for the team. Like, you look like one of the business guys upstairs. Like, that's exactly how he looked. But we I'm not going to list names here, but we draft this guy number 6 overall in the first round. Reed's the guy out there starting at safety. We signed the Super Bowl champ from the Patriots who played at Miami. He's not starting game 1 the next year. It's Reed. And then the next year, it's Reed. And then the fans are lambasting him because he's not physically impressive or imposing looking at all. Yet the first game, every year I was there, bam, Reed was starting. He was reliable. He showed up. He was overlooked, disrespected at times, but bam, he was the guy that was out there because the coaches knew they could trust him and they knew they could count on him. I almost see that a little bit in Ben Scott. And hopefully he proves this that notion to be right over time. All right, we'll keep an eye on these guys as we go through the process. As they go through the process, I should say. Any final thoughts before we head to break, Jake?
No. I thought you wrapped it up well. Better get to break.
All right. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.